Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast, episode number 80. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have back with me Hanako.
Hey there.
Hey, it's been a while.
It really has. I've missed you.
I've missed you too, boo. We have to catch up on so much. We missed a finale that we'll get to, you know, bad me. Yeah. But our favorite shows are back. One left, and like two are back, and then we have some movie updates. Yes. Today we're going to discuss Vampire Diaries, Supernatural, Harry Potter, and maybe some True Blood. Starting out with Vampire Diaries, what are you thinking about this season so far?
I am loving it. I mean, those writers did not play. They came out the box with the first episode, like, bam, 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 like, shocking. And it was just, this season has really blown my mind so far.
It is really coming into its own. It knows that it has to compete with, not like in time slots or anything with True Blood, but it knows that it has to bring it. And yes. I think that with the introduction of the new characters and the developments, Uncle Sexy, Mason Lockwood.
Yes, ma'am.
What is up with him? I thought he was going to be good. And now, you know, boy is evil and he got manipulated by Catherine. How are you feeling about that? I mean,
up until last night, I wasn't sure what his MO was, you know, with coming back. But once we saw how he was, you know, how his werewolf gene was triggered, you know, Catherine totally manipulated that situation so that she could control him, I think. And, you know, because it was just kind of weird the way, you know, the guy, Jimmy, I think his name was, you know, just kept saying, okay, yeah, you're sleeping with her. And he's like, I'm not. I was like, he looks compelled.
Yeah, he looks
compelled. Something is not right there. So to see that, yes, indeed, Catherine, you know, is once again manipulating people to do what she wants, you know, that brings a little bit of an interesting twist to it, because now you don't know what the end game is. Like, what is it that makes this Moonstone so important? You know, how does Mason fit into all of this? And I know that in one of the earlier episodes this season, we saw that Catherine let one of the Lockwood ancestors know that she knew what they were. So
they had some sort of uneasy alliance.
Yes, because he saved her, you know, he faked her death and saved her from the church, which, oh, wow, that was kind of shocking that she just actually, you know, in one clip, she's talking about how the vampires are her family, how she's going to protect them. And in the next minute, she's selling them out.
You know, those people that talk about family and how it's important, those would be the main ones that mess up.
Yes. So it's kind of weird now, because you kind of wonder everything that she says and how she's being manipulative and the things that she said to Stefan is like, okay, is she really telling the truth, or does she have another purpose? What is her end game? It's just, it's getting weirder and weirder, but it's getting a lot more interesting.
I don't understand, Hanako. One episode, it really looked as if she loved Stefan. Like, there was some, she's crazy all the way around, but she really loves Stefan. Now I don't know. Like, what you just said is, we don't really know what the end game is. And so we don't, what is her deal? Is this different? You read the books, no?
This is completely like out of, like, okay. They're not even.
Close.
It's done. Whatever similarities they had with the books kind of ended with the last few episodes of last season. So everything here is completely fresh, completely new, and I am loving it.
I like that. What is the new friends, the blonde who went vampire?
Oh, Caroline.
Caroline.
Oh my God, I love her as a vampire.
I do too. I wish she would get slightly more bitchy, but I really liked her.
That first scene with when she let Damon know what she was, that was an awesome scene.
Refresh me, I forgot.
Where they were in the school and she was, you know, she was confronting him and she said, I remember everything. And he was like, what do you mean? She said, you used me, you manipulated me, you bit me and you did this and everything. He was like, you can't remember all of that. That would mean you'd have to be. And, you know, she gave him that look and threw him across the room. And I was like, oh, Carolyn grew a spine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we see that she's what was it that she called herself? Slightly. What is it? Neurotic vampire on crack or something like that.
Yeah.
So. That's been kind of fun to watch too. Her go from completely bitchy to falling to pieces, back to being completely bitchy. I mean, last night she was kind of.
I really thought
that she was gonna let Stefan and Damon die just so she could protect her, you know, her secret from her mom, and then for her to come back and do what she did. She just kind of I grew a little bit more respect for her.
Right.
But that whole thing, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking for her because her mom is refusing to accept her the way she is.
All it's going to take is 3 days for the vervain to get out of her system. And her mom, I think what Damon's going to do is compel her to be a better mom. Maybe get rid of that hair she has, because you know how I feel about that hair. It's just horrible. But yeah. I think that Damon is going to do that for Caroline. And I also like the way last night's episode when she went to rescue Damon and Stefan felt really a lot like Buffy the Vampire Slayer to me, and that's what made me really excited about this episode.
It did.
And the way she went in and she, you know, killed the deputies and sucked their blood, and she had like a blood beard on her face, and then
and
her mom
was like, hi mom. Yeah, that was kind of, it was weird, but it was sweet. But you know, I kind of had a little bit more respect for Damon too, because you know, he could have easily killed Liz. Easily. And not bat an eyelash. And even though
then he'd have another, you know, crazy vampire chick on his hand. Catherine is enough.
That's true. But I don't. And I guess it is kind of true. You know, Caroline would still, I think she would mourn her mom, even though she can't stand her. But, you know, I think that's just kind of a facade, because you saw how hurt she was last night when she overheard her mom talking to Damon, you know, saying, my daughter is dead. You know, I'm wondering, did she even get an explanation? Did she even care to hear what happened? You know,
no,
to her
she
daughter,
seems how- like, you know, how Bill Compton's wife was. When she found out, she seems a lot like that. Like, I don't even want to know. You could kill me. I don't care. She's not my daughter anymore. You know, and people like that really, it confuses me. I mean, if I could have, like, my aunt died of cancer, if she came back as a vampire, she would be cool. I wouldn't, you know, diss her. I'd tell her, look, don't drink my blood, but, you know, have fun.
Yeah, but I guess looking at her reality, I mean, for pretty much most of her adult life, if not all of her adult life, she's been head of this council, you know, or been part of this council that, you know, the sole purpose is to eliminate the vampires. And now to find out that your daughter is one, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a weird place to be. And I guess, you know, without getting too political, the closest thing I can think of is to be, you know, to say that you are against, you know, gays or lesbians, and then to find out that your own child is.
Isn't that Chaney and his daughter?
I think so. Yeah. So, you know, to have that kind of shot, like, okay, this is, or, you know, better example, to be like Sarah Palin preaching about teenage abstinence, and then turn around her daughter, you know, her teenage daughter gets pregnant. It's kind of like that she was in a bubble, you know, of this lifestyle for so long, and then to have it just burst so suddenly and in such a big way, I think it's just mostly her mind just not accepting it.
Sarah Palin did not throw what's her face Bristol under the bus because she got pregnant, you know. So maybe we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe she's keeping her in a dungeon or something, who knows. But I got that too. I understood that too, but it's still, you know, it's a damn shame. It's her daughter, but Damon's gonna fix it. 3 days, that's all they need.
I'm wondering how Damon's gonna fix it, because, you know, I have a feeling he's probably gonna have her change her counsel from hunting vampires to hunting werewolves. I think, of course, it being Damon, this is how it's going to turn out. But I really thought that Mason was sincere when he told Damon, look, I don't have anything against you. I don't want to do anything. Let's be cool. And I was like, okay, maybe they can coexist. Of course, Damon had to go and screw that up. He wouldn't be Damon if he didn't, you know, so...
Well, now we know Mason is a scumbag, a very hot scumbag, and yes. I don't know what to do with that now. As I was just so, ooh, Uncle Sexy, and now it's like, he even looks uglier now, I don't know.
He's taking on that unattractive tone.
And what's his, what's the baby boy Lockwood's name?
Tyler.
Yeah. I was scared for him this episode.
I'm starting to like him a little bit more, you know, sympathize with him a little bit more, especially since he's not being such a dick to Jeremy now.
Yeah, Jeremy. He went through some stuff at the beginning of the season.
He did.
Poor thing. He wanted to become a vampire, did not become a vampire, had a ring. Now he's invincible. And he's...
Damon tried to kill him and...
snapped his neck. The ring saved him.
they've thrown a lot of drama into what... We're just on the third episode?
Is it? Three? Has it been only three? It felt. It feels like it's been like five or something.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3. No, it has been five.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
I have to remember they started like 2 weeks earlier than Supernatural did. So, it has been five. But, I mean, they've packed a lot into this season so far.
Yeah.
You know, will say that I do not like the lack of Bonnie so far, because I kind of want to see where they're going with her character, which I guess
we'll see. I'm scared for her every season.
Let's hope not, because they gave her some really cool powers, and she was, I mean, that first episode, she was kick ass, you know. She put Damon in his place, and she was like, okay, I'm not playing with you. If somebody gets hurt, you're going down. And she was
flirting with her and then was dead because Caroline killed him. And
And she set Damon on fire, and which was kind of funny, but not, because it's like now Damon knows that he can't just mess with her the way that he was. You know, like, she's shown him. Okay.
Well, he's an animal, so he has to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, but he learned that lesson well. I don't think he's going to be messing with Bonnie too much.
I don't know what they would do with Bonnie. She's just really, right now, she's just kind of not interesting at all, period.
Yeah, but, you know, she hasn't been on there as much either. So I know that we'll see her next week. So I saw the preview of not next week. I think they're skipping a week. So it'll be.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. Yeah.
So, but she'll be in the next episode, and it'll be kind of interesting to see where they go. I didn't really like the promo for the next episode because I think it was a bit too choppy. It was kind of hard to understand, well, to get a grasp of what might happen.
Explain to me, because I don't remember it.
It's hard to explain because you've got Damon talking to Bonnie saying that she needs to help with the werewolves, and she's saying I can't, and then you've got, you know, Catherine and Mason here, and then you've got Stefan, and I mean, it's just kind of weird. The promo was kind of bouncing all over the place, so I'll have to probably go back and look again and just try to get an understanding. Okay, this is what they're going to do, and this might be what happens. So
yeah, and I like that Vampire Diaries keeps the sap to a minimum. Because yes. it could easily just get so sappy that nobody wants to watch it.
Yeah, I think that first episode, they almost went there with the whole, you know, Stefan and Elena and the carnival and the Ferris wheel. They did get a little bit sappy there. That was a bit, you know, Daryl and I were on Comic Book Roadshow talking about that. We were like, what in the world was this? You know? So I think that first episode, it did get sappy, but, you know, the following week they came back strong, you know, with Mason turning into the werewolf and
that was exciting.
Stefan and the whole thing with Caroline, and just it's been great. I've been enjoying it a lot.
So do we think that Tyler is gonna turn this season?
He
has to. They keep teasing us. I think
he probably will. And I think when he does, right now I'm trying to decide if it's going to be because of an accident or if it's going to be something that he does on purpose. As far as triggering the curse,
maybe he'll have to kill Mason.
Oh, see, that would.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be interesting. Although, you know, I wouldn't mind keeping, you know, Uncle Mason. If not, just look, you know, they did really good picking those Lockwood guys. Because here's the funny thing. Even the dad who's no longer on the show, I got to see that actor at Dragon Con. Mm. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes. We'll have to talk about that later. But, oh, yes. He was standing right in front of me and I'm looking at him like, who is this guy? He looks so familiar, but he is so fine. And he walks into the room for the Vampire Diaries panel, and I look at him and I'm like, I'm saying out loud to myself in the room, shut up. And you are not about to tell me that is Richard Lockwood. And he gets up on stage and he starts talking, and it's Richard Lockwood, but he looks different because he's not in one of those stuffy suits. Mm. He's in a pair of jeans. He's in a tight, you know, a nice fitting t-shirt. It his change of clothing completely changed the way he looked, you know. And I guess, you know, on the show, he's supposed to be, you know, the he's the mayor, he's the leader of the town, but he's also the hard nose, you know, the one that gives Tyler a rough time. And, you know, he's basically a dick on the show.
Yeah.
And he comes across that way. So you don't look at him like, oh, he's an attractive man. But away from that, oh, yeah, he's hot.
That's nice.
So that was a nice surprise.
That's awesome. So I am looking forward to Vampire Diaries. Hopefully this episode will tide you over until, 2 weeks? I hope it's just 1 week they're skipping. God, I hope it is. And we'll talk about Vampire Diaries in a few more eps, Hanako.
That'll work.
Since the beginning, he has protected them.
I love you like my own.
This Friday.
And we already know how this game ends.
He's the one.
Crowley owns my soul.
Who needs help.
Sack up. Help me for once.
Supernatural. All new. This Friday at 9, 8 central.
And now we talk about Supernatural.
Yes.
That's the best yes ever.
Oh my, that was one of the longest breaks. I mean, True Blood, you know, it gets done in September. We don't get it again until June. You know, Supernatural ended in what? Was it May or June?
Yeah, I don't know.
And we're just getting it back in September. I feel like those 3 months were like the longest to be a fan. I mean, it was just like, can we please get Supernatural back? I need to know what's going on. I need to know how Sam got out of here.
And they're not telling us. Sam is back. He's weird. We don't know what's going. He has his own damn. Well, he doesn't have his car anymore, but he had his own car for a while. I knew that car was going to get it.
That was funny. And, what was it? He said a good side effect or something
like
that. That was funny. I kind of like what's been done so far, but at the same time, I don't like it because it's so weird seeing Sam be the way he is. It's like I'm really having a hard time trying to figure out what they're doing with these characters, which I like, but I want to see my old Sammy back. But it looks like
to me, Hanako, that Sam is Dean and Dean is Sam.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. It's almost like they reversed the roles, because it used to be Sam was the one with the bleeding heart. Sam was the one who cared about people, and Dean was the one that was hard-nosed, was the we do what we have to do, at least up until the later seasons when Dean kind of sort of, I guess after he came back from hell, he kind of softened just a little bit. And now it's completely opposite, you know, which is fun to watch, but at the same time, it's just, it's really weird as a fangirl, because I'm like, I don't know which one I should be rooting for. It almost seems like even though they're together, they're still not together as far as in their mindsets. They're not thinking on the same wavelength, and it's just kind of weird to watch that.
It is. We've seen Sam like this before when Dean went to hell and he went kind of dark. And this is not as extreme as that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but even then, Sam was still Sam. You know, he was darker, but you could still kind of see the old Sam in there. And like with this Sam, I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
and I guess it's good because that shows the strength of the writers, because here it is. Sam has been away from Dean for a year, you know, just completely isolated himself. And he's been around other hunters. He's been around the Campbells. So granted, his mindset probably would change, and the things that he's used to doing with Dean, he probably would have changed because now he's had to operate on his own. But it's just like I said, it's really weird to watch. And also because you don't know what the agenda is. You don't know why Sam was brought back. You don't know who brought him back. You know, you don't know how in the hell the Campbells got there. And it's just, there's so many open-ended questions. And I don't want to rush the season along because I kind of wanted to stretch out. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I need the next episode to get here because I need to figure out what's going on. I want to know.
I thought the premiere was a little weak because we got absolutely nothing. I mean, Sam walks in. He says, I'm back. Dean is okay. He's not okay. We get Parker Lewis can't lose.
He's
Skinner is back.
Jonas Quinn.
Jonas Quinn. And I was just disappointed that everything is just, you know, business as usual and nobody's getting answers. Like, just like you said, the way Sam is handling it, I don't get it. And his wife, girlfriend, she is the most understanding woman on the face of this planet. How can she sit there and be so understanding?
You know what? I think because of the fact that with what happened when Dean came back into her life with the whole situation with Ben, and my mind is gone blank because I can't remember exactly which creatures it was that kind of, you know, imitated themselves as Ben. But I think because she's seen firsthand what has happened or what could happen, I think maybe that makes her a little more sympathetic, because you have to put yourself in her shoes. If Dean didn't do the job that he did, her son would be dead and so would she. So I think she kind of has to put herself in that position to say, okay, you know what? If he doesn't go out there and do what he's good at, do, you know, what's in him, that could be somebody else. That could be somebody else's child, you know. And I think she wouldn't want that, just to say, okay, but I have him here and he's with me. You know, and I think also she, like she said, he wanted to be there, but at the same time, she knew he didn't.
Yeah.
And rather than that turn into a very bad situation, she's just kind of working with it and see how it goes. And I actually like her character a lot more because of that, because it wasn't you need to choose this or choose me, you know, especially with, you know, kind of like she said, when the guy you're dating, you know, saves the world from ending, you kind of expect them to be a little crazy in the head. And I think she actually gets that.
Yeah.
You know? So, which makes her such a great character. So
that's pretty That's pretty awesome of her. She deserves an award. And I'm counting down the episodes until she dies. Because I know she's going to get it. I know she's going to get it.
Because you know what?
She's either going to die or be evil.
I don't know.
Come on, it's supernatural, Hanako. You got
That's true. But if you look at it at the same way, the only female characters who have really like died quickly have been the ones that were either not important or they were, I guess, in some ways, weak characters. All the strong female characters, whether they were on the side of good or the side of evil, they've lasted for a long time. Ellen and Joe lasted 5 seasons.
Then they died a miserable death.
Yeah, but I mean, Ruby was there for what, 3 seasons? You know, as two different actresses. Yes, no, it might have been four seasons. Yeah. So, you know, as two different actresses, but still they had staying power. You know, they were there for a long time. We got to see them a lot. They, you know, interact.
Well, either way, she's going to last another season. So, because we only have one left.
Well, we don't know because they, I mean,
what?
The option has been signed for a 7th season if they decide to do it. The option has been signed.
I thought the boys were done.
I don't think they're done yet. I think there were a few few interviews that came out over the summer where they both have said if everything was right, and it, you know, it's not about the money, it's about, you know, whether the story was right and whether it could be done in the right way, that they would consider it, you know, that they would consider doing a 7. So I guess right now it's all
money is right. That's what that
means. I don't know. I mean, because if you think about it, both of them are active with, you know, they're very active with the show. They both have side projects, you know, that they're consistently doing. And they're doing conventions all the time. So I really don't think the money is the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, just they seem to be the types that genuinely love it. You know, so awesome. Who knows? Yeah. But
you know what else is awesome, Hanako?
What?
Cass returned.
Yes. I was so waiting for that, and when I saw the previews last week, I was like, yes, we're getting our angel back. And he came back in classic Cass fashion, I loved. He's like, hello, and you know, Sam's like, hello. He's like, yes, hello, that is still the term. I was laughing, but I was like, yes, we get you know, we get asshole Cass back for a little.
I loved when he went on his rant and he started doing air quotes to everything that was just ridiculous. Like, what are you air quoting, man? Because that doesn't make any sense at all.
It was great to see him back. I will be glad to see Bobby come back a little bit, which I think he'll be in the next episode. Yeah. So, I mean, they're slowly bringing people back. And I'm kind of glad to get a break from the Campbells because, like I said, I'm still...
who was he talking to on the phone at the end of that one episode saying he has something and he's gonna bring something or something? He was talking to somebody.
That's
on the phone.
Really,
we don't know who that is. And he took that, what were they called in the first episode,
the shifter?
Yeah, he bagged one and said we're gonna keep her for ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the
yeah, not the shifter, the is it the
Jin? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the gin.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, where is she? Where's this specimen? Where is he gonna? So I don't know. So it was revealed to us that Raphael has something to do with this, and who was the Balthazar?
Yeah.
So yeah, so it has to be one of those two angels that brought Sam back, or God, because we still don't know who God is at this point.
Yeah, and I think, and I can't remember if they ever confirmed, but I know there was a lot of speculation that Chuck was God, especially after,
the
disappearing act that he
pulled. No, I thought he was Jesus.
We don't know. And I mean, that could be it. I don't think they ever said. And hopefully we'll find out, you know, sometime this season, because I really liked Chuck's character. He was kind of, you know, a weird little comic relief with all of that. So hopefully we'll see him. You know, I don't do any supernatural spoilers, so I have no idea what's in store for this season. I mean, I got spoiled enough hearing that Grandpa and I can't think of his name now.
Parker Lewis.
Corn Emic. Oh yeah, Corn Emic.
Girl, it's gonna be Parker Lewis for life.
But you know, I got spoiled, you know, finding out that they were coming back. So I literally, like, any type of supernatural spoilers that have come out, like especially around Comic-Con time. There's a couple of people that I follow on Twitter that, you know, got a chance to go to Comic-Con and do exclusive interviews, and they're posting spoilers. I literally had to stop following them for like 3 or 4 days until Comic-Con was over, because I was like, oh, I don't want to see this. So I had to literally, there were people I had to stop following for like a span of a week, because there were so many spoilers floating out there, you know, that I just, it was bugging me. I mean, even Samantha Ferris, who plays Ellen Harville in the show, she was, you know, responding to rumors that they might bring her and Joe back. I don't know, either in a flashback or something like that. And I was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, that was speculation. So,
yeah. So, but she was like addressing it, and I was like, I don't want to see. I don't want to see. So, like, literally, I've had to start scrolling through certain, you know, certain things so that I don't get spoiled. So I have no clue where they're going with this season. I don't know what's going on. I've been staying away from everything. I at Dragon Con, a friend of mine and I, we tried to go to a supernatural panel. And when we sat down, the agenda for the panel was a synopsis of what season 6 was going to bring. And I'm sitting here reading this, and I said, oh, wait. And I closed it, and I walked up front. I said, is this panel going to be very spoilery about season 6? She was like, oh, yes, I'm sorry. If you guys are spoiler phobes. I turned around and said, I ran out the room. People were laughing at me, but there were 3 or 4 that followed after me, because they're like, oh, yeah, we don't do spoilers either. So, I try to stay pure for Supernatural. That's probably one of the only shows that I stay complete. Like, I don't do any spoilers at all. So I have no clue what they're going to do.
And that makes it a little bit more fun, you know. But what I'm really looking forward to is one of those classic Supernatural funny episodes where they just do something really weird, bizarre, and hilarious. And I want them to top what they've been doing, because the last season, they had the one where they were on the bikes and on the TV show or whatever. That was so good.
Changing the convention. Cap.
Yeah. Oh, it was just really good. And I want to see some more of that. I just don't want it to be serious stuff all of the time. So
yeah, which I think we'll probably see in the, you know, next few episodes, because they always, you know, like we said a lot last year, they give us a lot of the heavy stuff, and then they give us something, you know, for an episode or two that kind of breaks the monotony of, you know, the dreary and the serious and the world is about to end and, you know, all this.
Are you getting tired of the apocalypse? I mean, good Lord, they said, oh, we stopped the apocalypse, but now somebody's trying to put it back on. And I sighed a little.
You know what? In some ways I did, but at the same time, the way that they're telling it is kind of interesting. So because if you think about it, nobody ever talks about what would have happened if that stops. You know, you always see movies about what happens when Armageddon comes, and what happens when the apocalypse comes, and, you know, how people cope with the after effects of that. No one ever talks about what happens if it stopped. Like, if the world keeps going without that issue.
Isn't that everyday life, though? I mean, every day, once the sun sets, we've avoided an apocalypse. I mean, so that would be business as usual.
I guess, but if you think about it, it wouldn't be business for you as usual for Sam and Dean, or for anybody who was involved in that whole
riot,
that whole tug of war.
Right. You
know?
Right.
So I don't know. It was interesting. They've kept the gory factor. I noticed that last night was a little bit cringeworthy.
Oh, I was eating dinner because they haven't had a gross episode in so long. And I regretted that.
Yeah, my daughter was the same way. I made chili last night, and she was
gross.
When the first officer turned into a puddle of blood slush on the floor,
God.
She was like, "Okay, I can't eat right now." And I'm sitting there with my hands covering my face, kind of looking in between my fingers, and my husband looking at me like, "Why are you covering your face?" I'm like, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm like, just ew, pus, and ew.
They just laid it on heavy. And then what was with the disco angel, with the piano, Liberace angel? What was he doing?
But you know what? If you think about it, that's similar to how the trickster was. So you can kind of see the familial similarities there, because that's the same thing. And I really thought, I was like, okay, are they bringing the trickster back? They can't bring him back. He's dead.
So a whole bunch of people was dead and they brought him back. Why is he not coming back? I mean, Cass blew up.
But he wasn't smited with an angel's weapon. That's different. You know, and Cass, you know, I don't even think they ever said who brought Cass back. I think God brought Cass back. So I guess, you know, if God really wanted his angels to come back, he could. But, you know.
The God is pissing me off. He's really pissing me off because I don't know who he is. Nobody knows who he is. Come on. Jeffrey Dean.
Yes, bring Papa Winchester back. But you know what? At the same time, no, because then that means that, because the way that they've portrayed, you know, God in this series has been like, you know, he's the deadbeat dad. He's the one that's letting all this mayhem, you know, happen around him. Yeah. And he's also hiding, you know, kind of like in Dogma, you know, he's off playing skee ball somewhere in another person's body and not paying attention to what's going on.
I hope God is trapped. I hope some weird angel found a way to trap him. He's been trying to get out or something very interesting, because if God is just absentee and he's off golfing and, you know, between like some breasts or something.
So
I don't want that.
In that situation, then yes, they can bring Jeffrey Dean Morgan back. But if they have it to where he's just being a dick and he's just not around, no,
before. Yeah, we've seen that 100 times.
Yeah, and I don't want to see Papa Winchester like that. You know, we had enough of that when he was on the show.
Oh, just God, no.
The kind of weird parenting skills of him. So,
well, he did the best that he could.
I guess. And it's funny to see how, you know, Dean, in trying not to be like his dad, is actually turned out to be more like him. So that whole little, you know, I kind of like seeing the domesticated Dean. It's very fun to watch, you know, with him with the baby. You know, my Twitter timeline, when he was singing that baby to sleep, everybody was everybody went nuts. They were like, "Oh my God, he's got a baby. My ovaries are, you know, I'm ovulating."
Oh my God.
The comments that I saw on Twitter that night was so hilarious. So hilarious. But yeah, I kind of like seeing that side to Dean, but I'm also at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay, I need them to get back to what they do, and that's hunting. I need them to come back together and do what they do best, finish each other's sentences. And, you know, I miss the jerk and the bitch moments. And, you know, I kind of need them to get a little bit closer to formula. But, you know, I understand that that's probably where they're taking them. But, of course, with everything that's going on, not only Sam, you know, sacrificing himself and, you know, throwing himself into the pit, but he comes back and he stays away from Dean for a year. I mean, you gotta know that Dean feels a little bit betrayed by that, especially the fact that Bobby knew, and who else knew that Sam was back. So if they were to get back on the right track this quickly, I would think that was off. So but I think, you know, next episode is going to be interesting, because Dean is going to be cursed to where whatever he asks, he's told the truth.
That's
so
interesting,
because maybe we'll get some answers then.
Yeah. That's interesting, because Sam will have to tell him the truth. Perhaps he will. Perhaps he, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But something definitely happened, because they were giving each other the eye. And
Sam's response at the end of that promo was really weird to watch. Like, I literally had to rewind it twice just to kind of look. And I was like, some, you know, because Dean was like, you know, no matter what happens, though, Sammy, you always got my back, right? And Sammy's looking at him and he's like, yeah, Dean, of course. And I was like, oh, that sounded so insincere. What is going on?
It was wrong.
Like, I'm almost wondering if Sam is really Sam.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know.
Something's not right. He and another thing Sam did, he should have his shirt off more often.
Yes.
He might want to chill on sleeping with hookers, but yeah. Shirt off, I can agree with.
That was funny because it's funny because looking at him in that scene, you know, the hooker is talking to him and she's asking him questions and he's just sitting there just looking at her like, okay, get the fuck out. Get out. And it was so funny because I'm looking like, wow, that looks like something Dean would do. But that the hooker, I don't know. That whole scene was just kind of weird because the hooker was not really the best actress. And she was just, I don't know, something about her just,
you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, even if that's what you're playing, you should be able to deliver a line a little bit more believable. I mean,
I believed her as a hooker. She was very stupid. So
yeah, but I'm sorry. If there is a shirtless Jared Padalecki standing in front of me,
I'm gonna
I'm trying to flirt with him, I'm gonna come off a little bit smoother than she she did, but maybe that's just me. So I don't know, but I'm kind of excited to see where they're gonna go, and especially with this next episode, because I want some answers. I want to know what he asked Bobby. I want to know what he asked Sam. I'm nosy. I want to know what's going on.
Me too. I hope for the best. Are we getting a break on Supernatural as well?
Yeah,
Damn it.
Said next time. So I don't know when it's coming back. I don't know if it's the following week, but I think it's a little too. Oh, but you know what? Well, no, because it's not even close to Halloween yet. Because I was going to say maybe they're preempted for Halloween stuff. But no, that's not for another few weeks. So who knows?
Supernatural returns. No, it says it's having an episode next weekend, Friday the 15th. So it's not skipping.
Really?
It's called Weekend at Bobby's. So they're going to Bobby's.
Okay, so that is next weekend. Okay, cool.
So the only one that's going to be missing is Vampire Diaries. Okay, that's
boo,
fine.
Boo, boo.
We didn't get to talk about True Blood, the finale. Really, I wasn't that excited about the finale. So I think maybe I was with the girls and we watched the finale together. And maybe I drank too much wine. And so maybe I missed stuff. But when we watched it, it was just like, oh, okay, fine.
I think it was kind of interesting in a way, because I've watched it several times since it's aired.
I only watched the once.
Just to see what's going on with the characters and what may happen. It's just they closed it out with a lot of questions, I think. You know, what's going on with Sookie? Where did she disappear to? What's, you know, that whole little Matrix scene with Bill and the Queen was kind of weird. You know, wasn't too pleased with that. The whole scene where they're attacking each other in Bill's house, and they do the whole little Trinity.
I forgot about that.
That was kind of weird to me. I was like, yeah, you guys just upped the cheese factor in this one.
Yeah.
But
I was most interested in Sookie finding out about Bill, that he was sent by the Queen to find out what she was, and then in turn he, you know, became so enamored with her blood and her, and so attracted to her that he, you know, spun the whole love thing. And is he actually in love with her or not?
Yes,
you know,
he is.
Well, it felt like a question now, because he was sent, he, you know, is doing all these things. He's the only one that knows she's something special about her. He's the only one that's really been in her blood besides Eric. And has Eric drank from her prior to the Edgington thing?
Yes.
No, he did. Okay.
I think, I'm trying to remember if it was in season one or season two, but he took a bullet for her.
And, yes, yes, yes.
She
okay.
took the bullet out And I think she turned around and gave him blood to kind of heal him. So yeah, he had had a blood since then. But I do think Bill was sincere. I just, you know, because
but he was hoarding her, really. I mean, he could have had her for the rest of his life and drank the awesome fairy blood. And unless, you know, if no one pressed, no one would have known. He could have lived out his life in bliss, I guess.
No, the queen would have known, because the queen found out from Hadley.
Right.
So, and I think
the queen sent him. Right. Okay.
Yeah, once he fell in love with her, I think he was trying to protect her more, you know, which the queen, you know, talks about his defection. And I think that was probably a part of it, because, you know, even if Russell were to get her, which I think he was probably trying to get in good with Russell to figure out why it was he wanted Sookie, because even at that point, Bill had no clue what Sookie was. He didn't find that out until like right before the season finale. So
right, because Claudine told him, right?
Yes. And I really do think that, and that's another thing that kind of makes me think that he really does love her, because I think if Claudine had sensed that he was anywhere near insincere about that, I don't think she'd have told him. I really don't think she would have given him that.
It's true, but it looks bad.
It does, and that was one of the gripes that I did have about the episode, because as far as the things that they had Bill do to make it seem like, you know, he was just using Sookie, I wasn't comfortable with the way that they portrayed his character, because now it really does seem like he was just
He's a jerk, yeah.
Yeah, you know, not only that, but I mean, even to the point where he let the rat rays almost kill her so that she would drink his blood. I had a serious problem with that as far as what they did with the character. Now, I will say this. The thing that kind of breaks them up for good in the books is a little bit worse. So I can understand why they kind of toned it down here in the show. But still, I just, the fact that he would let it get to that point just to have her drink his blood, I don't know, that just made me very uncomfortable, the way they portrayed his character, because it's like, now how do you redeem that character? How do you
that's the biggest question, right? It's the biggest question I have, and it kind of, you know, tainted Bill for me, because he was just such a, you know, great Southern gentleman, and I just, you know, had him on a little bit of a pedestal. And
yeah,
usually the vampire lovers, like Angel or, you know, Stefan or I can't remember anything from Twilight today. Bella, what's his name?
Edward.
You know, they're all kind of, they all have that thing where they have a little bit of honor, and his has been so tarnished that I don't know what to do with it anymore. And the whole love thing is just Sookie and Bill. And I want them to be together so much because I enjoyed that relationship. And they're not giving it to me.
Yeah, because I think they're really going to try to push the whole Sookie and Eric thing next season.
I don't mind. Honestly, well, you know, now that I said that whole big thing about Sookie and Bill, you say Sookie and Eric, and I'm like, you know, well.
Yeah, like, I can do that, too.
Okay.
I'm sweet. Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that as well, because at least with Bill, you know, when he attacked Sookie and almost drank her blood, it was because he was kind of out of his mind because he was almost dead. So he was basically, his body took over and did what it needed to survive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't have any control over that. And obviously Sookie understands that, because I don't think she would have gone back to him after that. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, this little act of what happened with the rat race, that was something he did, you know, he allowed to happen, mm-hmm. to put himself in a position where she'd be vulnerable to him. That's just a little bit too much manipulation for me on Bill's part. And yeah. I'm not sure how I don't think I like it that much.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Tara, what is her deal? This whole season is nothing but whining. And it's just, I've never wanted a character so dead in my life.
Oh my god.
She has nothing to do.
Sound like twins.
Oh, you said that too?
No, Daryl did.
Oh, Daryl said that?
Yeah, because, you know, we did Comic Book Roadshow about the finale. And
yeah,
that was the same thing. He said, if I see one more tear, you know, and it was just funny. But I think, I don't know. I think
then she did that ugly thing with her hair. I was done. Oh, that was ugly.
I just think she needed a change, and who knows what's going to happen when she comes back next season. Look, she may come back a vamp. Who knows?
That would bore me, but she needed to do something really compelling because she's getting a little Bonnie where she's not doing anything. And yeah, it's time to either step it up or die. And I'm really curious as to why the writers aren't doing anything with her. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, and who, like I said, you never know. They may have something big planned for her for the next season. I think this season for Tara was probably more about just cleansing and, or as far as the season finale, just kind of cleansing and making peace with everything that happened and just kind of saying, okay, you know what? I need to reevaluate some things. Because, I mean, if
she walked in on her mama banging a preacher, yeah, she needs some space.
Oh, girl, yes. But I mean, not only that, you know, she was all ready to go out on this tirade on Andy, you know, for Egg's death, and to see Andy's reaction. I don't think she was expecting that, because you could kind of see her face change from hard to not necessarily sympathetic, but understanding, because I think even she realizes that Egg's wanted to die once he found out what was going on. So, you know, I think that whole finale was just basically her coming to peace with everything that happened, not only with her, but with the people around her. Jason, you know, telling her that he was the one that shot Eggs. And,
oh, finally, you know, that her, went on for too long.
Yeah, but you know what? I hate the way that they wrote how he told her. It's like he explained it to Sookie, but when you tell Tara, you just, I shot Eggs. Tara, please say something. Please say something, please. And it's like,
you can explain to somebody else that, you know, it's not happening to them. But when it comes to telling that one person the thing, it's just, you're horrified. You don't know what to do. You didn't. I kind of got him and I got the whole thing. But and then she had some skank sex with Sam Merlot. Oh, what is
OK, I'm sorry. That was hot. That was hot.
It just seemed really skanky to me. I mean, it's par for the course for her and him, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just out of the blue, like, oh, I'm poor me, blah, won't you, wow, wow. And I'm like, what is this? We're going from whining to knocking boots.
But, I mean, if you think about it, she was getting ready to lay down with Jason before he laid that that confession on her. So
something else.
And I, like I said, I think that's one of the reasons why she left. You know, she probably realized that she was on a path to not just self-destruction, more self-destruction. And she was just, you know, I think she just said, okay, you know what? Let me stop this. Let me go check. Because, you know, people always say it, you know, if bad things keep happening to you, or you keep putting you keep getting in situations where bad things are happening to you, it might not be the things, it might be you, you know. And I think she was probably drawing some of that negative energy, and it was just, everything was piling up on her. So hopefully she'll get away. She'll come back, you know, new and improved.
With a better hairstyle.
And so more girl power and less woe is me.
Yeah.
You know, I really think we need to see that from Tara. And then, of course, with what's going on with Lafayette, who knows what Tara might come back as next season.
God.
She may come back as the most powerful witch in Bond.
Miss Cleo.
You never know.
Lafayette and Jesus, they're cute. They got complicated. Really fast.
They did, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it because
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how the writers maybe wanted it, because it's like, we don't know what to expect. One minute Lafayette is freaking out, and the next minute he's talking about how hot it is that his boyfriend is a nurse that's a witch. So, you know, but yeah, that trippy scene was fun to watch, though.
It was.
It was. But according to, you know, Nelson Ellis, which is how I found out you pronounce his name. Oh, you know, there were four of the cast members from True Blood at Dragon Con this year. Mm. And he was one of them. And he was telling us.
I saw your picture with him.
Yes. So, and there, you know, I have video posted too. I think I posted it to Sci-Fi Party Line, but
He was
talking about how filming that scene was probably the worst scene he's ever had to film because of the way that the cameras were strapped to them and they were strapped together and they had to take like little baby steps. And he was like, it was the worst filming experience I've ever had. So almost, then he told us another funny excerpt about another, you know, bad scene that he had to film, but he was like, yeah, I hate it. He was like, I hated filming that scene. Came out cool, but oh, I hated it.
that's pretty funny.
But that scene was, it was interesting, but the one that kind of creeped me out was the one where Lafayette was sleeping and he wakes up and all his dolls are like dancing and talking to him.
Yeah, that's weird.
That was kind of creepy to me. I was like, okay, I feel like I'm doing V looking at this. It was weird to watch.
They went on a crazy thing with Lafayette, but I think it's just fun because he could be dead. So whatever. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. So whatever y'all want to do, as long as y'all keep him in the show. So yeah, I'm kind of interested to see him, you know, do the whole witchy thing and, you know, see where that goes.
Let's see who else is interesting. Eric got kind of whiny at the end. Because he thought Bill was going to kill him. I mean, not Bill. Edgington. Russell Yack.
Yeah. I was going to say Jessica and Hoyt. Thank you for getting them back together, True Blood.
Thank God.
The hell was with the doll at the end of the scene?
Now what now?
What was with the doll on the floor in the house at the end of the scene? When they were in. That was creepy.
I just thought they were being cute and I ignored it.
No, go back and look at that episode and look at like right before they cut away from that scene, they kind of pan down and there's this weird, creepy looking doll with a stake next to it laying on the floor in the bedroom.
Oh, it's a stake next to it? Oh.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a little wooden stick.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
That's what it looks like. But yeah, it was really creepy. But I'm glad they're back together.
I am.
Because what was her name? Summer, that chick. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Jessica to
rip her throat out.
Yeah, like to have lunch because that is one irritating. Oh my. I can't remember the last time a character irritated me so much. I was like, please just hit her in the mouth. Just tell her to go. Then to find out she's working with Maxine, it's like, oh my goodness.
It's really? Gross. It's like, why is your mom trying to, what is that? You know, what
she's
is it?
She's trying to control him like she's been doing. She's trying to control
him. It's gross. Get a life. Go eat something. I mean, geez. Go to church or something, lady. Leave
well,
alone.
You know, she went and bought a gun, so.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. That woman.
That's gonna be kind of interesting.
Sam Merlot's story kind of drug on. I didn't mind it, but it was like, I don't know. He went through a lot, and there was a lot of stuff, but I just really wasn't that interested in. Even though he did go through a lot of stuff, I think that when he went off on his brother, that was interesting, and he shot him, right? He shot his brother.
We don't know. I mean,
think he put a bullet in his ass.
That's what it looked like. I don't know for sure that's what happened because, you know, things have a way of, you know, looking one way and, you know, find out.
He has shot people point blank before, so I don't know.
That's true. But this is his brother, but at the same time.
No, he told his brother to get the F out.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, that meltdown was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen Sam do. Because he basically, he was like, and you're ugly. And yeah, I mean, he said what was on his mind, and it was fun to watch because you don't really get to see Sam like that.
He just let it all hang out. He's just like, drinking, screw it. I hate you. You get your crazy ass out of my... Well, I mean, he just told everybody everything, and it was like, get yourself went off on together. Terry. The thing with Terry and
Arlene.
That's not going to turn out well.
I don't think so either. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to be that her baby is evil, but I don't see that. I don't see that ending well at all.
Sexy Jason Stackhouse has to take care of a village full of cat people.
That's
like the blind lead and the dumbass. I mean,
I have no idea where they're going with that, because that has also changed from the book. Because, well, I don't even want to say what's supposed to happen, because it could still happen. But yeah, that was just kind of, here's my thing. First of all, Jason Stackhouse, how many times can you fall in love? Like, literally, he was with Amy for days and he was all in love with her. And now he's been with Crystal maybe, 2-3 days? And he's like, and they're both like, I love you. And you know what?
You know, Jason, when you love everybody, when you love someone, you just know. Doesn't matter the time or the length.
This is Jason Stackhouse we're talking about.
And he's not too bright, so maybe love is really simple for him.
Okay, well then I need him to understand this. Everybody that he loves ends up dying as far as women go. There was Dawn. There's Amy. And not even the ones that he loves, the ones that he just screws with, Maudette.
Dawn. Tara is still alive, but we want her to be dead.
I wouldn't go that far. I want Tara to grow a pair. That's about it.
I think she has a pair. They're just saggy and not.
I don't know. But yeah. So Jason, I'm gonna need Jason to be a little more discriminating in who he gives his heart to.
He's not smart
because. Yeah, which is sad.
If it's right, he's gonna go with it. That's Jason Stackhouse. He just takes off his shirt and love happens.
But you know, I think some of that probably has to do with that fairy blood too. Because of course, if Sookie is fairy, he's got to be part fairy, right?
He have a blood type, so.
Yeah, well, that's true too. That's true. But I mean, he could have some
influence. Appeal, like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because I mean, the way that they describe it, he's never wanted for female company, which of course with that body I can see how, but at the same time, you know, he's like you say, he's dumb as a brick, so kind of
dumb as a sack of hammers,
and he knows that he's not smart, so you know, for I don't know.
Great instinct, and he's very pretty, so he doesn't have to, you know.
That's true, but how is that gonna help him in a town full of wares?
And a weird ass hopped up on V quarterback. What was that about? Why they keep bringing that up? I'm not really sure.
You know, I don't know because Kitsch was never in the books. So that part is like completely show related. So I'm not sure what his purpose is and why he's there other than to just be a thorn in Jason's side. So I really don't know.
I don't know. I am definitely looking forward to next season. I didn't want this season to be over. It went by way too fast.
Yes, it did. And now we've got to wait till June.
So sad.
I swear, HBO really tries to kill us with their breaks. Because, that's 9 months?
I can have a baby in that time.
Oh, but yeah, but don't. Then you would never have time to watch True Blood.
These are dark times, there is no denying.
Tell me where it is.
Our world has faced no greater threat than it does today.
But you
you can't fight this war on your own, Mr. Porter. He's too strong.
Last but not least, we are going to discuss some Harry Potter. Because yes! Your name is, you know, your handle on everything is HMR Potter. So how can we not?
Yes, yes, we have to. And it's long overdue. We haven't had a proper Harry Potter segment.
Since I finished all of the books.
Yes, which we still need to talk about.
Yes, so, that's yes. right, ladies and gentlemen. Kat did not get an audiobook. Kat sat with all Dead Tree versions of the Woo! Harry Potter. Read all of them. I have to say that, six books? Seven?
Seven.
Seven. Five and six could be my favorite.
Really?
Maybe three and four. It's like two together, but for some reason I have the numbers confused.
Okay.
What I can tell you is that I did not like the seventh book at all.
Really?
At all. I was depressed. I was actually scared to tell you. Well, not scared. Scared is the wrong word. I just procrastinated on telling you because I really wanted to formulate my thoughts on it. I still haven't, but... It was my least favorite because I think it drug on so long. The book was big for no reason. They spent half of the book in a tent.
You know what? That's the main gripe with most of the fandom about that book. But I think that's probably the only part that most people didn't like.
Oh, I got more.
Was that? Oh. So, yeah. Look, we may have to do a separate show just to talk about the books.
We might. We might do something like that. Yeah, because it's going on an hour. But if you want to do a separate one, we can. Or if you want me to tell you why.
We can always do another show. You know, I'm always down to talk about Harry Potter. So that would be fun.
Well, let's not even say that we mentioned talk about Harry Potter. Except for, actually, I want you to give me some Harry Potter updates on the movies. What's going on?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's see. First off, movies coming out in just over a month. We've got November 19th. Yes, November 19th. It's almost here. And the promotional images and everything that's been coming online has been nuts. There's so many. We've seen photos. We've got great posters.
Are you spoiler free?
No, you know, Harry Potter, I look at everything.
Okay.
I think the only thing that I stayed spoiler free with was a few months ago, a couple of months ago, they held a top secret kind of like a test screening in Chicago, and Emerson Sparks and Eric Skull from MuggleNet were actually at the theater when they got pulled into this special screening, which they did not know was going to be Harry Potter. So they got to see an unfinished version of Deathly Hallows Part 1. So they did record a podcast that talked about it, and it was very spoilery. It got to certain points where I just felt like I needed to go ahead and stop listening, because there are certain elements, even though I know what happens in the movies, there are certain elements that I want to be surprised about when I see it on the screen. Right. So there are certain things I haven't looked at. Now, there have been promotional, you know, photos and stuff that have come out. So the stuff that I've seen looks really good. I'm really excited to see the Seven Potter sequence. Because you actually see Harry dressed as the twins. He's dressed as Fleur. He's dressed as Hermione.
That was a good scene. I do remember that. That was good.
Okay. Seeing seven Daniel Radcliffe's in all these different clothes on a photo is probably one of the most funniest things to see. I mean, I was scrolling through this during lunch one day at work when the photos came out, you know, sitting there looking at the pictures, and I come across that one and I just burst out laughing out loud. They looked at me like, what's so funny? And I couldn't explain it, because it was the funniest thing to see. And it's, you know, they've had kind of a mix of different images. So you have some that are kind of morbid, some that are scary, some that are, you know, swoon worthy. You see there's been lots of promos, you know, promoting that whole Ron and Hermione relationship, you know, with them, you know, holding hands and you know, hugging, and there's been a lot of that goodness. But, you know, that scene, I think, was probably one of the funniest that I've seen so far as the images.
That's good.
Let's see. Bill Nighy as Rufus Scrimgeour looks good. He looks really good.
Cool.
You know, he kind of, in one of the trailers, I don't know, have you seen the second trailer yet?
I haven't. I've been trying to stay movie spoiler free.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
I haven't seen any of these pictures that you're talking about. I have seen the first. I see some of the stuff that you talk about. Like, I knew about some of the things because I catch it in my feed every once in a while on Twitter, but...
Okay. But yeah, it's...
I'm trying to stay a little pure because of my feelings towards the seventh book.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, speaking from my perspective, in that seven, you know, aside from the never ending camping trip, seven was probably one of my, probably the favorite book of mine.
Oh, you don't want to hear me talking crap then.
No, we can still talk because I do realize I have talked to people where that was their least favorite book. But for me, it kind of embodied everything about the series in that one book. You know, all the good, all the bad. I mean, she didn't pull any punches with this one. You know,
she did, but
how?
I think there was some punches being kept back.
Okay, yeah,
we'll talk about it another time because it will be longer. When Harry Potter, you know, comes out, or, you know, we'll talk about the movie or maybe a pre-show. I don't know. We'll figure out something, but we will talk about the book. On that note, we've been talking for a while now, Hanako, so we might as well wrap this one up. You have any final thoughts or any final plugs? I know you do.
You know, just that I will be flying to New York to, you know, hang out for the premiere, you know, trying to get a press pass in through Hollywood News. But I'm just going to go and hang out with the people, with the fans, and try to see what I can see. And
that's awesome.
I'm gonna go up there. You know, I'm flying up there. I'm gonna be hanging with one of my best friends, Keith, who is he's one of the news writers at MuggleNet, and my friend Dove, who lives here in Atlanta with me, and she's one of the staff writers over at RupertGrint.net. We're all gonna go together, hang out, you know, try to see some stars, take some pictures, have a little fun. You know, maybe I can get in. Who knows? If not, I'm just going to go just to have a good time. Because
now, is this premiere night?
Yes. Is it
open to the public on premiere night, or is that just a premiere night for, you know, big wigs?
It's just the big wigs. They are giving out, they are doing contests where fans can win tickets to the premiere, and that can be found on the official Harry Potter Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Harry Potter Movie. They are they have this whole campaign going, Join the Final Battle, and they started that when the movie was 100 days out. So they've had different prize giveaways. You know, they've given away some of the celebrity read posters, which now have Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson. Which is, you know, the big read campaign that the American Library Association promotes with all the celebrities with their favorite books. Well, we finally have some Harry Potter posters with Dan, Rupert, and Emma on the cover. So those have been given away on the ALA site, and the UK Harry Potter site and the American Harry Potter site have both been given away tickets to the world premiere and to the US premiere. The world premiere will be in London on November 11th, I believe, and then the one here in New York will be June. I don't know why I want to keep saying June. November 15th.
Okay.
So that's where I will be.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You can visit Hanako at hmrpotter.com. Yes. And read her blog on HollywoodNews.com. I forgot the whole URL, but yeah, HollywoodNews.com. It's like /Conoco something something. I have the link up. Guys, thanks for listening to our show. We love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line or email us at info@sci-fipartyline.com. Send us a message on Facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line. Or go to scifipartyline.com to leave us a comment.
Hi, I'm Daniel Radcliffe. I want to personally thank you for joining the official Harry Potter Facebook page. If you join the final battle, you'll be able to access videos, photos, interviews, and games that we're saving just for fans like you. Recruit your friends to join the battle, and you could even win tickets to the premiere of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 in New York City. Thank you so much for all of your support throughout the years. Now it's time for the final battle, and we need you to join the fight. See you on Facebook.